Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey guys, it's your favorite sisters with the Confessions of a Reluctant Caregiver show on UK Health Radio. On the show, you'll hear caregivers confessing the good, the bad, and the completely unexpected. You're guaranteed to relate, be inspired, leave with helpful tips and resources, and of course, laugh. Now, let's jump right in to today's guest confession.
Jay!
I love like when we get started because you're doing mouth exercises.
You know what? It also looks like one of those, even Jen's doing mouth exercises. Yeah. Which is great. You know, I believe mouth exercises make you happy. Like when we're getting ready to start, it pushes your, it makes you smile. It makes you laugh. It gets those happy endorphins going in your body. And there's nothing that makes me happier than recording a podcast. And recording a podcast with my favorite oldest sister.
Yeah. Well, I just want to tell you that watching you do mouth exercises actually makes me happy.
I feel like I'm going to eat it. Like
you kind of look like, you know, when you see that, and not to say that it's like a horse, but Mr. Ed, when he laughs, his mouth is like, ha, 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 you can see, and then he sticks out his tongue. That.
I actually feel like a little bit like The Walking Dead, who, if you'd like to sponsor us, I'm sure there's caregiving in The Walking Dead. I think caregivers can say, I feel a little bit like The Walking Dead. Where you're just
dead.
Walking around, you're like, okay. Anyway, okay. Sorry. Sorry, hey, guys. We went off the rails this morning for this one.
I got a surprise for you. We do have a guest.
And she's not a zombie.
She is kicking it. And she's kicking butt. And I am super, I told her before we got started, I'm actually super excited today because she has yet another tool for me. I'm very selfish because
so
anytime
selfish.
Somebody
we
comes
just did
on.
A podcast for interventions for ourselves so that we can also survive.
Yes. See, there you go. And so let me introduce you to her because I'm getting started. I mean, I'm going straight to tools. I don't care about her story. I want to know how she survives.
That is so kind.
I know. So, okay, I'll listen to the story first. Okay, today we have Jen Fredericks, and she's joining us. She totally understands caregiving. Guys, it's as a giver and as a receiver. Now, Jen has been living with chronic kidney disease for over 30 years, and for the past 10 years, she's been caregiving for her daughter through health challenges, including a brain tumor. Now, she's also long-distance caring for her parents. Jen says she could be sitting in her car some days, unable to face walking through her own front door because she felt so overwhelmed while everyone around her kept saying how resilient she was. Don't you love that? Like, everybody's like, you're doing a great job.
Good job.
You're so fantastic.
I didn't have to do anything to help. Thanks.
Yeah. So, but she says that experience led her, I think that experience led her down a path to help others, including the creation of the Caregiving Relief You Don't Have to Wait For Guide. I like that name right off the bat. Here's a spoiler alert. It all starts with a pause.
I can't believe you gave it away.
So that's what I'm waiting on. The
gave
pause.
It away.
Jen, we are so excited to have you here with us
Yay!
Today.
Thank you so much. I've been looking forward to speaking with you guys.
Oh, well, we're going to have good fun. And I am very interested to hear about your caregiving experience. And really, it's almost a little bit of a reverse with you being a recipient, you actually having your own kind of chronic illness yourself and having a long-term illness that you've been dealing with and managing. And then the roles shifted. Because I'm sure, you know, you're the mama bear. So anyway, I don't want to even get further into that. I want you to roll it out and then we'll ask questions as we're going along because we're interrupting cows. And let's start off with how we always start off. Give us a little bit about your background. Tell us where you're from. Tell us about family. Of course, birth order, we are always interested in. But just kind of bring us up to speed and get us where, you know, tell us about life and
sure.
up to care.
Yeah. So, well, I was born in Ohio. But I now live in Wisconsin, and in between there were several moves as well. I am the baby. I'm the youngest.
Oh, he's the baby.
Oh.
Of how many?
Just two. My sister's 9 years older than I am, and she like currently JJ lives in the Midwest as well, but about, you know, 7 hours from me, so that's sad. But I lived a lot in Ohio on a farm. We moved to Texas with my dad's job, and then I started feeling ill then. In middle school, found ourselves in a small, small town in upstate New York where the doctor finally was like, oh, I know what's wrong with you. It's not chronic fatigue syndrome. It's kidney disease and you need a kidney transplant at 15.
Wow.
Yeah. So it,
big wow.
It was, I mean, kind of like divine intervention that we were in this huge metropolitan area and then moved to this small rural town. And that primary doctor, my new pediatrician, is the one who said, I know what this is. And I was very blessed to receive a kidney from my dad. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. That lasted 18 years through all of the growing up milestones. And then it got tired and it said, I'm out. And I was lucky enough that I had married into the right family because my husband's fraternal twin brother was a match and gave me a kidney in 2012.
No kidding.
Yeah.
This is a very, these people are generous to their kidneys. I got to tell you that. I'm not sure I could give you a kidney.
That is fine.
I mean, you know, I pass out.
Was there like a test on the sense of from your brother's, I like that your husband's, it was your husband's fraternal twin brother,
yeah.
Which I love that he's a twin because
yeah.
twins run in our family too, which is near and dear to our heart. But did he check with you to say like, how have you treated your dad's kidney? Which is, I mean, and you know, were you kind to it in your 20s? Were you respectful of the kidney? Because if I'm going to go under the slicey dicey,
right?
I'm going to need you to make this one work for a while.
So funny story. My dad is a connoisseur of Jack Daniels. And so
who doesn't love a little bourbon?
Doesn't, especially in a Coke. And so right after the transplant with my father back in 93, I did go through an acute kidney rejection where I lived in the hospital for about a month trying to get the kidney back to liking my body. Yeah. And my dad looks at the doctor and said, well, you just need to set up an IV of Jack Daniels because it's been without for a while. It just needs a reminder.
I know he was going to say, could you just pipe in Jack? Because it'll remember, it'll perk right up and be like, I'm sorry, what?
The doctor looked at him and was like,
dad. I love your dad.
That's hilarious. This makes me happy.
Yeah.
This is I feel like the name of this is going to be Jack. This episode is going to be a little Jack.
That, I mean, a little Jack can never hurt. Well, I mean, can't.
Right.
It can for some people, but thankfully. So I do treat my kidney really well. We ended up naming it. I didn't name my first kidney, but then a nurse asked me once here in Milwaukee, like, hey, have you named your kidney from your brother? I'm like, no. I'm like, wow, he really likes sports and stuff. So maybe I'll name it Giannis. For the Bucks player. So.
Okay. I like that you named it after football because that seems completely appropriate from a person who lives in Wisconsin.
Yep.
I'm not
it's
gonna
actually
lie
the
you.
Giannis is a basketball player, but I wouldn't have been aware either because I like music and theater and not so much sports. But the only reason I know is because of my brother-in-law.
So how many children do you have?
Tell us about getting married and all that.
Oh yeah. So, okay. So I met my husband because I dated his best friend from kindergarten before I dated and married my husband. And we're all still really great friends. We actually just saw each other a couple of weeks ago at a party for my in-laws' 50th wedding anniversary. So anyway, lovely wedding. I think like 7 attendees on either side. It was a beautiful celebration. And
my husband and I are just, he doesn't call me his best friend. He's like, no, it's deeper than a best friend. But I'm like, but I want a best friend. So I'm calling you my best friend. But we have a lot in common, really love to listen to jam band music and spend time up at my in-laws' cabin on the lake during the summer. Really, I just couldn't ask for a better partner in this whole journey. And, you know, he married me knowing that I have a bum kidney and that we'd be looking at adoption as a way to build our family rather than me being able to carry a child. And he was like, why would I want to have a child with anyone else if it isn't you? And yes, that's the way we'll build a family. And so we did. We welcomed our daughter into our family in 2008. And she is just, I call it a sunshine with the sky blue eyes.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, it's a blind melt song.
Got it. Okay. So we're swimming. I mean, you're swimming along.
We're swimming along. Life's doing what it's supposed to.
So how old was, tell me, you said she was 8 when you adopted her?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, that's when she was diagnosed. We brought her home at 5 weeks old.
Oh, she was a baby.
She's a baby. So we drove to the western side of the state. We were there the evening she was born. We got to hold her that night. And then with all of the legal proceedings and everything, she did live away from us for about 4 weeks and we were able to visit. But then we were foster parents for 6 months. That's how it works here in Wisconsin.
Yep.
Right. And then finalized in May. And okay, do you guys like numbers?
Sure.
Okay. 29. I had my first kidney transplant July 29, 1993. We were able to bring our daughter Layla home October 29, 2020. Eight. We finalized the adoption May 29th, 2009. Like 29 is a number for me.
29 is your number. I like that. Yeah. Let me ask you this. Did you know if her biological family had a history of any, was that information shared? Because there's something to be said for knowing, just having worked in the foster care system for mental health for 25 years, there's something to be said for having awareness about what happened in utero. Mm-hmm. And is this a child that was substance exposed? Yeah. Like, is there a family history? Yeah. Because then you have to really mentally plan for care. Mm-hmm. And so, and not just I'm raising a child. I say that respectfully.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, we actually have I would call a semi-open adoption with her birth parents. And so we did receive a lot of information. We met them. They chose us as her adoptive parents.
Wow.
And from everything that we know of them and some of the, you know, medical records that were released, she is very, very well taken care of.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. So this
is great.
This brain tumor thing was like, it was like a fluke. I mean, pretty much the doctor said, and as soon as she was diagnosed, I first thought of her birth mother. I'm like, I want to let her know that this isn't something genetic. The doctor said it's bad luck.
Wow. So she's 8 years old. Now, are you, I'm assuming you and your husband, are you guys working? Yeah. So this is kind of you're feeling great. Good kidney.
Yep.
You're like, hey,
I'm working at Harley Davidson at the time in events.
Oh, we love Harley.
Thank you. So I got to go work Sturgis. I was working Atlantic Beat Bike Week. You know, I was around for the anniversaries here in Milwaukee. I was, chugging along, and he's a product development manager with an engineering background. And she just kept having these headaches, just like headaches. And I'm like, why is she having that? She was in gymnastics, very active, you know, very full of life. And, they had us start tracking, well, is it food allergies? Is it anxiety? Is it whatever it is? And I finally pushed enough mama bear to say, I'm not doing this anymore. You are getting me imaging.
Yeah.
And they got me imaging. And I actually, my husband was out of town the day she was diagnosed. And I called him and I said, well, the neurologist won't see her because she's has a headache and is throwing up. They want us to go to Children's and have some migraine meds given to her. And I said, so I think that that's what's going to happen. It's not like I'm expecting a brain tumor or anything. Click, hung up the phone. The tech actually accidentally left the curtain open between the CT room where we were and then the monitor. And I have never seen a brain tumor before. I've seen a lot of insides, like through kidney ultrasounds and stuff. But as soon as I saw the imaging come across, I'm like, oh, it is a brain tumor. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
At this point, you know, how does life start to shift for you and your husband? What starts to happen? Because you're going into you, in my mind, you become the dual role of caregiver starts to really show its face, I would assume.
Man,
because now you're really going above and beyond what your average parent is going to do with traditional follow-ups and sick calls and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. You know, I thought I had it all handled. I had it all figured out. I've been doing this since 1993. I know the health system. I know the doctors. I know. But if you're listening and you know that feeling when you're drowning in everyone else's needs all of a sudden and you can barely breathe, that's what I became. And that's why I decided now to walk alongside caregivers, like your listeners, to discover, like, how do we find relief when we're doing all of the appointments, when we're doing the regular school things, when we're doing all the things, and when you can't actually get away. Like, I just can't go to Hawaii and sit on the beach. Mm. And I want to help people, as well as myself, show up present instead of depleted all the time, even when our caregiving never stops. And so we think as parents, taking care of our kids never stops. Yes. And like you said, Natalie, add this extra layer on top. And how do you do it? And I didn't know how to do it.
When you were at the hospital, if people are watching video, you're going to see me, my mic is having issues. So please excuse me on that. I'm keep trying to, it keeps turning down, which I feel like JJ has it. And now I'm actually going to pause because we need to take a break. We'll be right back. JJ, you can bring us back in.
All right.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
All right, everybody, we are back. And Jen has said, wow, this is a time where you're not exactly sure how you're supposed to proceed because her daughter has been diagnosed with a brain tumor, 8 years old. Life was swimming along, and now she is full force into care. So that's what I want to talk about. First of all, tell me about what the doctors are telling you at this point when you've got an 8-year-old that you're in and she has a brain tumor. Tell me about what they're telling you and what you're feeling.
I went into complete, I'm a pretend doctor mode when we're in the actual diagnosis week of the hospital. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, doing all the things. I was listening to all the doctors. We were attending all the rounds. I wasn't really feeling until one day the care team was in the room. My family was in the room. I was standing on the end of my daughter's bed. And everything that I had been pushing down in order to understand what was going on started to like boil up, and it was about to erupt. And I was about to like figuratively throw up everything that was inside of me in front of my sweet young thing. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, this calm just filled the room, came over me, and a voice outside of myself said, "Who do you want to be for her?" That was the first big pause.
Are you a faithful person? Are you a believer in God, or because that doesn't matter? Because for me, I feel like if you're a believer in God, to me, that's like God and the Holy Spirit just being like, I got you, boo. And if you're not, that's okay. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering.
Yeah, no, I do believe I have great faith. I'm very spiritual. Yeah. I also, you know, participated in the Catholic Church for a long time, but I also feel this just like one wholeness of universe and humanity.
Yep.
That I honor. And I do believe that we all have access to some of these,
yes,
you know, divine moments that we can experience. And that's not the first time I've had a divine experience in the hospital.
Yeah. I will tell you, and for me, and it's really, and this is the thing, and it's funny how religion is so like, you always want to be like, I sounded like I tiptoed around it. And that's absolutely because I did. Because you never want to offend anyone. And for anyone who's listening, you may say, I don't align with that. And that's okay. Because the thing is for me, I think, I don't know how people personally don't do it without some level of faith or belief in something, because this is so beyond our control. All of this is beyond our control. And how do we pull down? How do we maintain hope? That's the thing is, and you're talking about, I believe in divine intervention, and whatever that looks like, that divine intervention looks like for you is how that looks like for you.
And Natalie, that's one of the pauses. You're speaking to one of the pauses that I share with people, which is, you know, as we're getting to know our caregiving exhaustion and the four different types that I speak about, I talk about the, I lost my identity pause.
Mm.
And so that's actually tying into like a spiritual pause, which is what is beyond us? What is outside of ourselves that helps support us and bring us hope? What is my mission, vision, goal? What helps me stay connected to my true north as we're going through these trials and tribulations, you know?
Mm. So if you want to go over the four, I'm interested now. You caught my attention. I'm like, wait, I don't want to wait till the end on that one.
Yeah.
So is this kind of a self-realization moment for you, that aha moment that where it's like you get this sense of overwhelming kind of like, it's going to be okay. How do you want to approach this? Mm-hmm. And how you approach this is really going to impact your overall wellness is kind of what I hear you saying.
Totally, but not on a straight line.
Right?
Because life doesn't keep us on a straight line. It throws us for loops. And so I thought I had it. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. Anytime I stray from showing up in the comfort and love and warmth that I want to be for her when she's in a place of fear and uncertainty and strange pokes by needles, you know, like anytime I start feeling that, I move myself into the warmth and love and comfort for her, but also for me.
Yeah.
So we had a pretty easy go of it after that first diagnosis and a shunt placement for hydrocephalus treatment. And then 2 years later, the tumor changed. And then we really
So was
started.
The tumor benign? Was it like, so you were able to treat it? Was it, did they know what it was attributed to or just?
They don't really know. I mean, and when you talk about a tumor in the brain, is it benign? Is it malignant?
Yeah.
There are those that are malignant, glioblastoma. Those that are type fours, those that are aggressive and spread. Hers is a low grade glioma. And so while it's not quote unquote, you know, malignant, because of where it is and the precious, you know, land that it will take up in her brain, we do watch and wait. We watch and wait with MRIs. And then when there is a change or she starts to have issues with her memory center or some of those other things, then we have an intervention that we use.
Yeah.
So it was the intervention after she had had some chemo done and some other infusions that held it at bay for a while. 2020, it changed.
COVID.
Like change.
Yeah.
So much that we had to have a partial tumor resection scheduled for her on New Year's Eve of 2020. And so here I am immunosuppressed. My daughter's going in for a 6+ hour brain tumor surgery. I'm going to live in the hospital with her for the next month, masked, fearful, because there was nothing to protect me other than a mask and hand washing and having no visitors and all those things. But leading up to that treatment, there were a lot of behavioral and emotional things going on because of how the tumor was affecting her personality. Ooh. And that's when I hit bottom. That's when I didn't know how to support her.
During that time, you know, you say you don't know how to support her. Are you still working, first of all? or had you?
So great question.
Okay.
So right about the time when her tumor was changing, and so she was diagnosed in 2015, about 2016, we started seeing some behavioral things show up after her medical trauma. And then I was laid off at Harley. Mm-hmm. And here's another divine intervention. I don't even know how it popped in my head. I hadn't ever had a coaching session with anyone. I was like, oh, maybe I'll try this life coaching thing. So I met with a past coworker who was in the professional development space. And within 3 months, I was in a training program. It wasn't for my career. It was for me.
Mm.
Self-realization, self-awareness, boundary setting. How do I come into myself to help support me? So I was having it all figured out, right? And then the fall before her big, big surgery in 2020, I couldn't eat without getting sick. I had so much anxiety. I would be in a fetal position. I dropped down to 100 pounds. I'm like, I can't do this. What is going on?
Yeah.
And this was after I had all of those tools we just talked about.
Oh, yeah.
You're saying I had to take some pauses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My body was saying, pause right now or you're not going to make it.
Mm.
But at the same time, people were saying to me, you're so resilient. You're so strong. And I'm like, do you not see? And maybe I did too good of a job hiding it, right?
Mm.
But like, I'm sitting in my car in the driveway after picking up something from the pharmacy. Like, I can't make myself go in my front door.
Yeah.
But if you're listening right now and you're feeling exhausted like that, like, remember your loved one needs you present, not suffering. And there's a huge difference. And that's where these pause practices can make a difference when you are in the throes of caregiving and you can't get away. Because we always say, oh, well, I'll take care of myself when this resolves, or I'll take care of myself when things slow down. No, take care of yourself now, because that's going to give you the sustainable energy to fuel your resilience. That resilience that people said I had that I didn't feel I had. Well, now I have it. And these pauses I've discovered help me find relief in the moment. And at the same time, they help me build my sustainable pro-zilience. So when people were saying I was resilient, I was like, what are you talking about? I got really curious about it and started looking up exhaustion, you know, caregiver fatigue, compassion fatigue, all of those things. And I ran across pro-zilience, proactive resilience. And it's developed by an organizational psychologist for use in organizations. And I was reading this book. I'm like, holy cow, she's been following me since I was 15. And I didn't know this is how I've been doing it during the ebbs and flows of life. And so now I know one of the main building blocks of resilience is centered in those pauses. And when we center ourselves in these pauses and practice them regularly, they help us build our resilience. And we can build upon the different tools we have in our toolbox to access our resilience during challenge.
Mm. So has this like need for information, has it hit you during these 6 months? Like, are you using these tools or does this hit after the 6 months that you're living in the hospital, which it sounds like also overlaps the COVID?
Oh my gosh, it was. Yeah. And thankfully it was only a month, but like my struggle with being present and not suffering started like 6 months before, you know, hit with COVID. I'm sorry. Yeah. Like a little before and then and after. And I was doing the pauses innately, but I didn't know what I was doing. So when people would ask me, like, how are you doing this? I'd be like, I don't know. I just do it.
Over here, magic. It's just over here being magic and unicorns.
Like,
I'm kind of curious about, you know, because I think about this with my mom. I'm there.
Yeah.
And I know Natalie probably thinks about this with Jason. We're there. Tell me about what you feel the difference is with being there with your daughter versus being present with your daughter. Mm. Define for me kind of what the difference is. If you could tell the caregiver, you can be there or you could be present. Tell me about that.
Sure. So I like to share, be where your feet are. So like you're there. You're sitting next to their hospital bed as they're coming out of surgery or whatever, and you're holding their hand, but your mind is spinning in the fear and the what ifs and the what I should have done's and all of those things. Being present means having your feet on the ground, holding their hand, and knowing that you're there in love and you are right there in the moment. And this isn't meaning like if you're feeling fear to push it aside or away, but it's acknowledging it and not letting it spiral past the point of it being able to help you. So like maybe there's a fear like, oh, there's, this is happening and I'm not sure what that machine's saying. So then you pause and you ask the nurse. So you don't be like, oh my gosh, that beeping means that they're going into da-da-da-da and AFib or da-da-da. No, no, like you, be present. Calm yourself is the first building block of resilience. Yeah. Calm yourself. How do you do that? Well, there are several different ways we can do that. And then this idea of the four pauses we can take as exhausted caregivers in place. There's the physical pause, the mental pause, the emotional pause, and the spiritual pause. And these are all learning to manage your energy, because human resilience is fueled by energy. So when we can manage our energy and find where the leaks are and plug them and then fill ourselves up, we're able to fill our resilience, you know, fuel our resilience and decide what strategy to use to meet the challenge, decide which resilience muscle, which we have seven of, which resilience muscle to engage in order to move through the challenge. What I have learned in my work with caregivers, being a caregiver, being a patient, is that when we focus first on fueling ourselves through managing our personal energy, we have the sustainable strength to make it through difficult times.
Mm. I'm going to take a pause right there because I want to come back to that, and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, everybody, we are back here with Jen Fredericks. I love when we get to come back from a break because I get to ask the first question.
JJ never gets to talk.
I know. So I do, Ned had mentioned, I do want to talk about you using these tools, because when this is about you, I also want to talk about all the things that are part of your life. First, I want to ask about your health and how you're taking care of you during this time. And then I know now we probably want to jump into how you're using these tools to take care of your marriage, because that's incredibly important.
Yes, yes, yes.
So tell me about you, this healthier of you first.
I'm great. I actually just saw my transplant nephrologist for my follow-up a couple months ago, and all my numbers are good. And I'm just kind of rolling along. I probably should be taking better care of my physical self, meaning like, okay, let's strengthen some muscles. You know, I'm 48. So like, let's strengthen some muscles. Let's, you know, get some cardiac health going for you, you know, get some. So, but no, it's great. And what I know for me, and you guys and your listeners will figure this out for themselves, which of those four energies you really focus on that help fuel you the most. And for me, that's taking care of my spiritual and emotional energy. Mm. And then it allows me to know when I need to do more with my physical.
You said you'd gotten down to 100 pounds, which I'm sure your brother-in-law was like, lady,
yeah,
take care. His kidney's not going to like this.
Well, here's my confession. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Ready.
I went from literally punching walls in pure frustration to being able to find those pockets of peace and chaos. Like, there are still marks on our walls. My office is upstairs. Marks on our walls downstairs where I kicked or hit walls.
So what got you, like, kind of let's walk through that, because here's the thing. This is the, and I appreciate you saying, here's my confession, because this is true. Mm-hmm. There have been so many times that I just want to scream and I'd want to hit something, because here's the thing. It's better to hit a wall. It's what I always tell my kids that I work with. I'm like, it's better to hit a wall than it is to hit another person. So let's start mm-hmm. there. So that's a first step. And then let's work on not hitting walls, because then you're going to hurt yourself. Right. And it's really not the way to get rid of that energy mm-hmm. is because I look at that as this is energy that you're holding on the inside yep. that is it coming out in a very negative way that does not serve you.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. It was me trying to hold it all together and not acknowledging that I was having those human feelings about this really difficult situation and trying to push through it rather than honoring where I was in the moment and saying, like, mm-hmm. I need to go scream into a pillow. I need to go get some fresh air.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a pause. Screaming into a pillow, that's a pause. That can help your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual energy right there. But I wasn't doing that. I was letting it build, pushing it down, you know, pressure cooker until it would come out in me punching a wall and scaring the bejesus out of my 9-year-old daughter, because she's not seen mom act like that before.
Yeah. How is this affecting the same time where you're not eating because you're getting sick every time you eat? You've got this anxiety that is like really exactly what you said, a pressure cooker yeah. that is just waiting to explode. How is that affecting your marriage? What's your husband saying to you? Like, lady, if you've lost it, or do you need to go get therapy, or yeah. what's going on there?
I think he was terrified, but it's taken us some time. We've always been really great communicators, but it's taken mm-hmm. us some time to be able to communicate in a moment like that. We both like to avoid confrontation. So we just kind of wouldn't talk about it.
Planned ignoring.
Yeah. What I've found that's worked for us then over the years mm-hmm. is setting boundaries with each other. Being like, I can't talk about this right now. I want to let you in, but I need 10 minutes. And then coming, so there's a pause, physical pause, removing myself from the, you know, letting the heated discussion. We've never really fought, but letting the heated discussion simmer down a little bit before we actually mm-hmm. come back and talk. We're very like-minded. So that really helps our marriage, meaning that, well, one, we don't like confrontation. But two, we've grown together to learn how we can confront each other in a loving way without accusing or pointing fingers, or it's like, we're able to, I always say this with my clients, I'm holding my hands up together. Like, how can we hold that both in the palm of our hands so that we can acknowledge and honor it and yet move forward together with it?
Mm. Did you do any kind of marriage counseling? Did the hospital recommend any kind of peer support groups or counseling for you as parents who are going through this super traumatic event? I see you shaking your head. No,
no. I mean, it's about survival when you're in the hospital, right? And then you get discharged. And then, and I remember my mom saying this, when I'd be discharged from my kidney transplants, you're kind of like, how am I supposed to live out in the real world with all this? She used yeah. to go to the grocery store and become paralyzed and not know what to do. And so she would just leave. I would do the same thing. Like, my daughter just had a little brain surgery yesterday. And I'm taking her home tomorrow. Are you freaking kidding me? What am I supposed to do?
I can't even imagine how scary that would be. I mean, it's one thing for you to put a Band-Aid on some stuff. Yeah. It's another thing for you to have what I would like to call, even though it's closed, it's an open wound, people.
It's a very open wound. They just
social worker. I am not remotely qualified for this crap.
She just said little brain surgery. And I just am like, huh?
Well, because her quotes. Yeah, she'd have like, she might need to have her shunt revised. And so that's like a quick in one day out the next. She just had that done in February again. Yeah, we were in overnight and then we bring her home. And, you know, that's when I pull on my confidence resilience muscle that we talk about in okay. resilience, because like, I know what I've been through. She's had these little brain surgeries a couple times now, so I can find trust in myself and my husband's knowledge. And thankfully we live 8 minutes from the medical center.
Yeah.
But that's when you really got to lean into that. And that's where the next question comes up. The question from the first time she was admitted, who do you want to be for her? Do you want her coming home scared because mom and dad are like, I don't know what to do with that? No, like you want her to be able to feel calm and loved and comforted because she's just had this surgery where she's been under general anesthesia and she's had to sleep overnight in the hospital with all the beeping and all she wants to be is home. But she doesn't want to be in a home where everyone else is scared. And that's like what we talked about before, when we're feeling exhausted and we're suffering. That's when we need to take that pause so that we can be present for our loved one and be there in a way that helps their healing, doesn't add to the illness and the concern and all the fear they're feeling.
How old is your daughter now?
She's 16 now.
Oh my goodness gracious. I'm curious about relationship with her and what you see, what you anticipated a relationship to be like. Oh, I'm going to have this daughter. She's going to wear bows the rest of her life. Or how you...
She just dyed her hair blue. So, you know, there's me. They're not...
Fantastic!
There's no blue or bows right now, but...
Fantastic. Or where it is now, like how it impacts you, what you thought this dream was going to be, and also how it impacts her.
Right. I mean, well, let's be serious. Any parent, what you think it's going to be is not what it ends up. I had lovely, lovely guidance from my sister who has two boys in their 20s now. We said, you know, everyone paints it to be unicorns and roses and rainbows, and it's not, and it's okay.
Yeah.
So I thank her for that. So this is, I believe that's a divine that God knew that Layla's soul and my soul and my husband's soul needed to be together, but couldn't find a way to get it to us that way because I couldn't naturally carry children. And so there's a psalm and it used to be hanging in her room when she was younger. And I don't remember exactly what it is, but the one, like, I knew your story before.
It was before you were born.
Yes. And so we lean into that. We say we always connected really well. Like we never had a hard time bonding or attachment wise. And then when all of this came up for her, we were like, wow, isn't it crazy? And an outsider to say, isn't it crazy that you've had all of this experience? And like, I can fall asleep in a hospital room at the drop of a hat. Like I am so comfortable in the hospital. Like, isn't it crazy that you can be there that way for her? Like it was meant, not that I want her to have this or I want her to suffer. But like, if she does, isn't it a wonderful thing that she has me and then my husband who is with me for my transplant, the second one as well, as kind of shepherds for her during the time?
You know, it's true. And children look up to their parents for guidance and support. And when the adults are not okay, the children are not okay. And that's just through, and I know we're getting close to our time actually. And so I want to make sure we have time for sister questions too. But I think it's very clear that you're like, this has been messy, people.
So messy.
I've learned a lot from it. And I love, you know, you've got some things in here that you talk about as far as like, you know, your loved one needs you present, not suffering. Mm-hmm. I love how you said that. You mentioned that earlier. Relief begins with the pause, not the kind where you escape, but present pauses you can take when holding someone's hand in the hospital. Mm-hmm. Like you, it's almost like concurring. It's you can support someone concurrently, support yourself through interventions. And sometimes the strategies are things that the person you're caring for never even sees you do.
That 3 minutes that you take to do some box breathing while they're talking to the doctor, right? And here's the other thing. If you're not sure, if you're listening and you're not sure what type of exhaustion is really draining you, that's why I came up with a short quiz so that you can figure out if, you know, if you're the physically wiped out caregiver, the mentally maxed out caregiver, the emotionally overwhelmed caregiver, or the I've lost myself caregiver. And then once you figure that out, like there's a guide, there's like 12 plus strategies in there to help you take pauses. Yeah.
They're going to be in the show notes, people. Yeah. So I'm going to tell you right now, we are totally, I'm taking the quiz.
Oh, call me. Yeah. I will tell you, you know, if I have any questions, I mean, everybody can call me. I'll have the address like all starred and favorited on my computer.
And then from there, I really want people to know that I created something that I wished when I had, when I was in the hospital, that I could go to 24/7 and hear about these pauses, hear about what other people are going through, see where people need to share and be supported, and mm-hmm. also hear from, you know, experts. And so I've created CareWell Circle, which is a video-centric online community, because mm-hmm. caregivers need to see human faces.
Yes. Eyes and teeth, people. Yeah. Eyes and teeth.
And if you can't be across from someone having coffee, like, the next best thing is the screen. And I think some of that came out of COVID, you know, thankfully. But yes, find out where you are being drained, because when we know that, then we can help you plug the leak, and you can apply these pauses wherever you are. Mm. And then you can start to find relief in the moment, as well as start to build your sustainable resilience.
So, four areas mm-hmm. that you talked about, where do you find yourself? Which area do you see yourself drained in the most? And what is your
go-to?
Mm-hmm. Go-to, yeah, that helps you.
I would say, I pick up on other people's energies a lot. And so emotional is the one that really gets me the most. Mm-hmm. And so I would say I'm the emotionally overwhelmed caregiver. And so that's when I take a pause, put a hand on my chest, my heart. And I say, you know, I don't have to carry everyone else's emotions, and ask the question, is this mine or is this someone else's?
Oh, I love you.
I love it.
I love you. The question itself, is this mine or is this someone else's? And that goes back to what we were talking about with Mel Robbins about just
let it go.
Acknowledge it, honor it, and then this is theirs. I cannot fix that for them. I can show up in a calm presence once I know where I'm at, and they're responsible for how they show up.
Oh, Mel Robbins, you can have us all on your show.
Yeah, we absolutely.
Love
you.
Yep. We love your books. I also count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Actually, it's 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Yep.
Actually, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So we love you. We honestly love you. And, and here's my question, because I know I have to wrap it up because we could keep talking forever.
Yes.
What is the thing? This doesn't even feel like guilty pleasure, but what is your favorite guilty pleasure at this point? What is the thing that you do just for yourself that really helps you to reconnect, that you enjoy, that you're like, I'm just doing this for me?
Yeah. Okay. I'll go to Tarjay. I'll go to Tarjay.
I love how people are universal. Tarjay.
I'll go to Tarjay and I'll get a frozen Coca-Cola and a bag of Cool Ranch Doritos.
I'll sit
in the car in the parking lot. And I did this too when COVID, I had to do grocery pickups because I was masking and everything. And I didn't want to, I do grocery pickups, but then I'd like just run into the cafe part and I get those two things for myself. And I go back and I sit there and eat it in the car before I went home. And I still do that.
I'm going to tell you, she is literally a sister. Cause I mean, that's the kind of things we're foodies.
Foodies with Coke and Doritos.
No. When I say foodie, like that's our go-to when we feel stressed, like honestly here lately in stress, M&Ms, like M&Ms and Coke and Doritos.
Peanut butter, regular or peanut?
Oh, regular. I actually go just regular. And I normally don't eat milk chocolate. I normally try to eat dark chocolate. Yes. So in my mind, it's healthier.
Right.
Whatever.
It is.
But M&Ms are, it can swing ugly real fast. And
so it can go downhill.
It's one handful and then 10 handfuls later. I'm like, I don't think that's healthy.
Well, here, I'll help you pause a little bit with that. It's how I eat Skittles. You can eat M&Ms this way too. You
just eat
two blue ones at a time, two brown ones at a time. So just like match up the colors and it'll help slow down the consumption, but you can still like fill that need.
It's a little obsessive. And I like that. I'm like,
color coordination as well.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yep.
Jen, thank you so much. I have learned so much. I'm going to take that test.
I'll close this out. And again, thanks, Jen, for loving on us. We will make sure to have all these things, the quiz about what's draining you now and caregiver relief guide and all the information for Jen. You're going to want to connect with her on all social media platforms because she is just nuggets of wisdom. And here's the thing. If you're unsure, just pause. That's my answer. If you're unsure, just take a pause. And so, Jay, will you close us out?
Absolutely. Guys, until we confess again, we will see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Well, friends, that's a wrap on this week's confession. Thank you so much for listening in on UK Health Radio. But before you go, please take a moment to leave us a review and tell your friends about the Confessions Show. Don't forget, visit our website to sign up for our newsletter and connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Pinterest, and Twitter. You'll also find the video recording of all our episodes on the Confessions website and our YouTube channel. We'll see you next Tuesday when we come together to confess again. Till then, take care of you.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,